You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN. I'm Ava Berardi.
And I'm Katie Frankowitz. Concerns about federal immigration enforcement dominated the questions asked at a candidates' forum in Astoria Tuesday night. The forum was hosted by the American Association of University Women Astoria branch and included candidates in contested races in the upcoming May 19th primary. All of the candidates were asked if they supported the building of an immigrant detention center on Oregon's North Coast. The question followed efforts by the Department of Homeland Security to site such a facility in Newport last year, and a recent visit by DHS Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen to Coast Guard facilities in Astoria and Southwest Washington.
We are not positioned to have such a facility in our community. We don't have the infrastructure, nor do we have the zoning. And so, I guess, to assuage fears of the community, it's not possible for us.
Clatsop County Commissioner Courtney Bangs is a Republican candidate for the State Senate District 16 seat. She is seeking her party's nomination this May to appear on the ballot in November. Her fellow Republican, also vying for the District 16 seat, is realtor Tripp Dietrich. He said he is in favor of a strong border policy.
If there is a need for a detention center out here, that may be the case, but we don't know that right now. I know it's on person when it comes to illegal immigrants in the state. I have employees that have come in as illegal immigrants and have not gotten them their citizenship. I think that there needs to be some compassion. I think that we do have to have strong border policies and we do have to enforce them. Otherwise, what's the point?
Democratic candidate Rachel Armitage previously held the District 16 seat in 2022. After she was appointed to serve out the remainder of former state senator Betsy Johnson's term. She said she would oppose the building of an immigrant detention center on the North Coast.
I really care about this issue on a human level. I grew up in church, my dad is a pastor, and I think this is one where I think about, the book of Mark that says, what good is the world if you gain the world and you lose your soul? And I think when it comes to immigration and the way we treat immigrants and refugees here on the North Coast, we better be careful because we're really at risk as a nation of losing our souls on this one, folks.
The candidates were then asked if they would prioritize the safety and sense of well-being of immigrant neighbors when making decisions as a state senator. In November and December, federal Immigration and Enforcement Administration agents were active on the North Coast and detained at least a dozen people in Clatsop County. A spokesperson for ICE told KMUN in December that agents were in Clatsop County to arrest illegal immigrants who posed a threat to public safety or had violated U.S. immigration law. The agency declined to provide any information about who they were detaining, their immigration statuses, or the specific reasons why they were detained. ICE also did not answer questions about whether the people they detained faced deportation. At the candidates' forum Tuesday night, Bangs said sanctuary shouldn't be offered to, quote, violent criminals.
I support our law enforcement. I support the health and well-being of our community members. It is a uniquely worded question, but at the end of the day, if you are a violent criminal, it's very similar to having guests in your home. If your guest is going to come and break your windows and burn down your kitchen, they do not deserve to continue to be a guest in your home. I have a very similar perspective in regards to immigration, but I will say Consejo Hispano, I always mispronounce that, I apologize, does a wonderful job representing our local community, and I have a good relationship with Norma, who runs that program. I do hope that our federal government, as this is a federal issue, I hope our federal government can develop a manner in which to allow folks who are wishing to live the American dream in our country to have that ability to do so.
Dietrich expressed similar opinions as Bangs and said that in his experience, immigrant communities are also worried about the presence of violent criminals.
That they're making it unsafe for them too. We need to go after and get those people. Now, a lot of people are worried that immigrants that are working on our farms and in our community are not going to be safe. I have to tell you, I've gone to farms. I've been working on farms for the last 6 months in this district. I've seen things, and the people there, they're working. They're not afraid. They're not afraid at all. What they're really afraid of are rapists and drug dealers in their community if they want to get out. So, but if we talk about the safety of our immigrant neighbors, well, you have to look at that community also. Because it's not just immigrants that are doing those crimes. We go after white people, too. We go after people of all colors. It's the criminals that are going after. That makes them safer.
Armitage pushed back.
I just want to say, look, I think it's wild that we jump from conversations about immigrants and refugees to conversations about criminals. Like, we know that there are things. Immigrants and refugees are human beings. It's everybody in Astoria. We have a Scandinavian festival because so many of, our grandfathers and grandmothers were immigrants and refugees. That's literally who we are as a community. So of course I prioritize the safety. And frankly, masked, unidentifiable federal agents coming into the streets of, Warrenton and Seaside and grabbing people off of the streets is confusing even for our own law enforcement.
Candidates for the state representative District 32 race and for seats on the Clatsop County Board of Commissioners also participated in the forum. KMUN will have additional coverage on these races tomorrow. A recording of the entire forum will be available as a podcast at KMUN.org by Thursday. Video of the event will also be available at a later date. This is KMUN. A new poll shows Oregon State Senator Christine Drazen leading the field of Republicans vying for governor this year. The poll of 515 likely Republican voters found Drazen had 31% support. Her closest opponent, State Representative Ed Deal, and former trailblazer Chris Dudley had 16% and 15% support, respectively. 30% of the poll's respondents were still undecided. Drazen was the party's 2022 nominee for governor. She's hoping for a rematch against Governor Tina Kotek in November. And now here's KMUN's Ava Berardi.
Election officials in Washington State are working with law enforcement to investigate how a box of unopened ballots ended up in a dumpster in Renton. State government reporter Sarah Mises-Tan has more.
Officials say ballots do sometimes go missing, though it's rare. Here's Haley Watkins with King County Elections.
It feels very reminiscent to almost every even year election after ballots go out. We hear a few reports from folks where, mail was stolen and ballots were found in a ditch.
The 380 abandoned ballots found earlier this year were from elections spanning from 2022 to 2025. Those ballots were mostly addressed to people who used mailboxes in storefronts like Amazon or UPS package lockers. None of the ballots were filled out. Prominent vote-by-mail critic and Republican leader Jim Walsh says the incident represents a breach in security. In Olympia, I'm Sarah Mises-Tan.
Salmon took a hit this year in Olympia as funding to help the Northwest Signature fish dried up. People who work to restore fish habitat say salmon runs will keep declining unless legislators make bigger investments in their future. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
A little stream called Starboard Creek meanders through the lowlands of the Skagit Valley. Its water is dark brown with tannins from nearby wetlands.
Even though they're hard to see, I'm sure there's coho in here right now.
Yuki Rice is a restoration ecologist with the Skagit Fisheries Enhancement Group. It's one of 14 regional nonprofits formed by the state legislature to save salmon. The Skagit Group got state funding to remove salmon-blocking culverts from a private road on Starboard Creek.
This project opened up over 6 miles of habitat upstream.
She says results were quick.
If you remove a barrier one summer, that fall you're going to see salmon moving upstream past where they weren't able to get before.
State funding for the regional salmon groups has dropped by about a third. State agencies that work on salmon have also had their budgets cut. The state budget signed by Governor Bob Ferguson preserved core services over environmental spending. Advocates and state officials say the spending is essential to getting salmon and orcas off the endangered species list. Federal funding for Pacific salmon has been steady. The Trump administration wanted to eliminate it. Congress rejected that idea. Still, millions in federal funds for salmon are months overdue. I'm John Ryan reporting.
It's Earth Day. 4 years ago today, President Joe Biden announced an executive order in Seattle that created the first ever national assessment of nature. President Donald Trump rescinded the effort 2.5 years later on his first day in office. But the team that started that work, led by a professor at the University of Washington, refused to give it up. Now an almost 900-page draft of the assessment is out for public comment, with plans for publication by the end of this year. KNKX environment reporter Bellamy Palethorpe has the story of how it all came about.
On Earth Day 2022, President Biden stopped at Seattle's Seward Park to sign an executive order.
It's an honor to be in this beautiful park with y'all.
His remarks highlighted his administration's climate agenda, the pledge to map, catalog, and conserve old-growth trees in national forests got the most applause. But Biden also spoke more broadly about the benefits of nature.
Scientists estimate that the protection and restoration of our natural lands and waters can provide more than one-third of the solution to climate change. Just that, if we did nothing else.
And because of those climate benefits, tucked into the executive order that Biden signed in Seward Park was a short clause stating that new research would include an assessment of the condition of nature. About a year after the announcement, Phil Levin was appointed by the Biden administration to direct the National Nature Assessment.
So it was the first time that there was going to be a holistic assessment of the condition of nature in the U.S., so our lands, our waters, our wildlife, and all the benefits that nature provides to people, from jobs and livelihoods to health and well-being to safety from natural hazards, and even to our cultural heritage.
Levin is a professor of environmental sciences and interim director of the Earth Lab at the University of Washington. His initial team produced an annotated outline of the assessment. Those 50 pages are in the Federal Register. And the team was almost done with its first draft when President Trump canceled the effort. So Levin says he had no doubt that he'd just somehow keep it going.
I believe that the work needs to be done. I believe this work is really important for our country. So, okay, the government isn't going to support it anymore. It doesn't mean that the work's not needed, and so we just kept going.
All the authors were already volunteers. About a quarter of them were federal and unable to continue. So Levin had to rebuild the team. He says he never doubted that the assessment was needed. That hunch was validated when he saw the team's preliminary findings.
50% of our wetlands have been lost. Half the country is used for agriculture. 1 million acres of land every year are converted to development across the U.S., and there's 90,000 dams in U.S. rivers that are disrupting, you know, fish migrations. At the same time, there's a lot of hope and optimism. There's a lot of bright spots out there.
The successful dam removal and restoration of the Elwha River, for example, the rebuilding of fisheries on the West Coast, and recent recognition for indigenous stewardship or for the need to plant trees and regreen our cities, he says. Levin formed a nonprofit and rebranded the National Nature Assessment as a national initiative called the Nature Record. 171 authors are on the team. Their third draft is now out for scientific review. With this draft, they're also touring the country, making presentations and asking for public comment. Levin says all the chapters are posted for anyone to see at naturerecord.org.
Whether you're a technical expert or just an interested person, we are wanting to hear from everyone.
He says they've also recently started working with partners in the arts community, and there's an anthology of poetry that's a companion to the assessment.
I mean, we all have something to contribute to this record. Not everybody is a scientist. Scientists can contribute in one way. We all see things that are changing. We all see hope, I think. And so these artists are engaging and creating the record through their own skills and lens.
After the comments are processed, the first edition ebook of the Nature Record will be available for download. MIT Press will also publish it as a paperback book for sale. I'm Bellamy Palethorpe reporting.
The Department of Justice is investigating University of Washington for its, quote, handling of anti-Semitism. KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more.
This is not the first time the Trump administration has looked into allegations of anti-Semitism at University of Washington after pro-Palestinian protests on campus in 2023 and 2024. But what seems to have triggered this investigation is a fundraiser by a group that is no longer affiliated with UW, Students United for Palestinian Equality and Return. SUPER's student group status was revoked by the university last May when 33 activists occupied a building and smashed lab equipment. They were charged with misdemeanors in March. The 23 students among them were suspended last year but can now return to class. Assistant Attorney General Harmeet Dhillon announced the investigation on social media, mentioning SUPER's Tuesday night fundraiser for, quote, Lebanese resistance. A UW spokesperson said the university will cooperate with this federal review. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Doctors are needed everywhere, but especially in rural and historically underserved populations. Washington State University hosted an event to show students how they can get into medicine. NWPB's Rachel Sun reports.
I'm sitting at a table with a group of students at WSU. They're working with a pair of forceps, silicone skin, a needle, and thread to try and suture a cut.
That's the reason on it. Now you do it again. Do it, but then you pull it.
One of them, Sam Hoptowit, seems to already have a pretty good handle on things. He says his mom taught him how.
My mom is a family medicine doctor, but she did a rotation in general surgery, and so that's what I'm thinking of.
Hoptowit is a running start student. He's not sure where he wants to go for his bachelor's, but says the University of Minnesota offers scholarships for Native American people that he would qualify for.
Many Native communities are really underserved, so like the reservations and stuff. I really want to look at volunteering in places like that.
The event focused on addressing barriers to entering the healthcare field. In Pullman, Washington, I'm Rachel Sun.
Last year, Oregon's wolf population grew by 13%. That's according to a report by the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. At the end of 2025, officials counted 230 wolves across the state. ODFW says wolves are moving west, with three new packs identified in the Cascades. Statewide, the agency documented 30 wolf packs and 23 breeding pairs. While advocates praise the news, they also highlighted a large number of wolf deaths. According to the state report, 42 wolves died in 2025, compared to 26 in 2024. 39 deaths were human-caused. Half of those wolves were lethally removed by state officials for killing livestock. Four wolves were killed illegally.
A federal agency accidentally killed two protected wolves in southern Oregon last summer. As OPB's Alejandro Figueroa reports, a lot of details are still unclear.
The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife disclosed the killings in its annual wolf population report, which came out last Friday. It reveals Wildlife Services, a program under the U.S. Department of Agriculture, was supposed to be removing coyotes when it instead killed the wolves. At least one of them was a collared male that had traveled from Northern California. Bethany Cotton is with Cascadia Wildlands, an Oregon conservation nonprofit.
It's utterly unacceptable that a federal employee or contractor would not have enough basic wildlife identification knowledge to know the difference between a wolf and a coyote.
Gray wolves are federally protected in western Oregon. Federal officials told OPB there's an active investigation. I'm Alejandro Figueroa reporting.
Local and regional news on KMUN is brought to you by our news partners and by the KMUN News Department. That includes news host and production assistant Ava Berardi and me, news director Katie Frankowitz. To send us a tip or story idea, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, @kmun.org. You're listening to KMUN.